Amen. So we said this new series, Building Trust in Community. That's what we've been talking about, because we believe that as we build community in one another, it's important that we have trust developed and growing among us. In this church, as you can all know, it's all about connecting 3 to 5 people that stay connected, encourage one another, pray with one another. And a lot of that is happening every week. People are connecting, are praying together. I just want you to know that that's very, very vital. We're not doing it because it's just a cool thing. We're doing it because it's Bible. And if you are not part of a group, and if you're not praying with anybody during the week or connecting with anybody during the week, I want to encourage you to make every effort to be part of that. It's what we're striving to do, because it's a biblical mandate that God has given us. But we also know the enemy of our souls, the devil, wants us to stay in isolation. And he wants us to make sure that the devil would be okay if you and I had a very surface connection, or not at all, but as long as we went to church and said hi to each other, but we were never engaged with one another, we're never supporting each other, we're never praying for one another, he'll be perfectly fine with that. But we are going against that, because Jesus wants us to be connected with one another, because that's what he's called us to do. So in this series of building trust with one another, it's important that we understand there's a place for grace. This morning I want to talk about how to give grace to each other. As a matter of fact, how to be radical in giving grace to one another. How many know that you and I have received grace from God? Amen. And the same way we have received grace from God, we ought to give grace to one another. Amen. You see, this grace that I've received from God is what allows me to be in relationship with Jesus. And in order for us to have thriving godly relationships, there's going to be need for grace to one another. When we become grace givers, we become just like God. When I came into a relationship with Jesus long time ago, I have failed him so many times. But the only reason why God hasn't kicked me to the curb is because he's been gracious towards me. And because of that grace, I'm in relationship. Because of that grace, I can stand up here. And if we're going to have those strong godly relationships, we're going to have to be people that we give grace. What happens when there's no grace? When there's no grace, guess what happens? There is judgment. There's condemnation. There's no empathy. Whenever there is no grace, so the next time you're tempted to judge somebody, condemn somebody, that is the moment you just left grace on the table. Can I get an amen, people? Amen. So grace matters. Grace matters. We see a lot of stories in the Old Testament where there was no grace. In the Old Testament, if somebody did one sin, they were destroyed. They were killed. One single act of disobedience meant you could die. You remember God touches the Ark of the Covenant when he was not a high priest? You know what happened to him? He died. Because there was no grace. In the Old Testament, one man sinned. It meant his family could die too. Yeah. Him and his household. Because there was no grace. You see, if a priest went into the Holy of Holies in the temple and had sin on him, he's dead. Why? Because there was no grace. There was judgment. There was condemnation. There was no grace. But you know, something happened. The Bible says in John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, right? Yes. But grace and truth came through one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about that. For the law was given through Moses, that means judgment and condemnation, but truth and grace. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus brought grace. He brought grace to us. It was a new phenomenon that the teachers of the law, who were masters in the law of Moses, didn't know what to do with this teaching about grace. Because all they knew was, you know, you messed up, you died. You messed up, you were stoned to death. And Jesus comes on the scene, and all his teachings are based on grace. They didn't know what to do with that. That's what the Bible says. Jesus brought grace and truth. I want to read a few verses where Jesus comes and shifts everything and he blows all their mind away. Now, let's read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. This is what Jesus said. He says, "You have heard that he will say, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him to the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it that he will say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the righteous. And if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that?" When Jesus taught that, and many of the passages he taught, it was very radical. They didn't know what to do with that. It was grace. He was teaching grace. He had brought grace. And men and women could not understand what they could do with that. Because all they knew was the law, the truth, the judgment, the condemnation, the guilt. And Jesus comes and says, "I'm coming with radical grace." By the way, what is grace? You know, some theologians have said grace is unmerited favor. But in simple ways, we can say grace, it is the love of God shown to one another unconditionally. Think about that. The love of God shown to one another unconditionally, right? Grace, it is the love of God shown to one another unconditionally. In order for me to walk in grace towards somebody else, I ought to be willing to give them grace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You see, why does grace matter? You probably saw the slide before that, but why does grace matter? Because grace matters because I have shortcomings. I have faults. You have faults. And when we get close to us, we're going to see those faults. You see, we're like a two-sided coin. Every one of us has a part of us that's like a facade about us. You know, we all do have that. We have parts about us that nobody else knows about it. This is when no one, it is who you are when no one is looking. You understand? It's the things you say when nobody is hearing, or things that you do that nobody can see. Our facade is all these things that we know about ourselves, but others don't know. Right? You know about yourself, but nobody else knows. And because you have these things about you that nobody else knows, you have this way of life that nobody else knows, you have your secret way of life that nobody knows, maybe a secret sin that is only between you and God, because no one else knows. Now, some of us may be open to confess our sins, but some of us may be quiet about our sins, and we hide our sins, and we have this struggle going on inside of us. It's a facade. We know that we are lacking, but yet we are still in our sin. And some of us are fighting battles that nobody else knows about. Battles that only you and God know about. And that's why, because we all struggle in one way or the other with this hypocrisy about our lives, that's why we need to give grace to each other. Because I may not know what battle you're fighting. Just because you walk in that sin doesn't mean you actually want to walk in that sin. You may just need to be free. You need to be delivered. But we all know that as children of God, we're not supposed to be comfortable in sin or enjoy sin. And every time we sin, we must break down and say, God, I can't believe I just sinned. I'm repenting. I'm crying. Please deliver me from my sin. Because we don't delight in sin because it breaks the heart of God. But as we work our way out, as we work out our salvation, we have to realize that it's important for me to give grace to somebody just because I may not know what battle they are dealing with. So if a brother fails you, or bails on you, or confronts you in a way that is unpleasing, or lashes out at you, if anything happens that is not pleasant to you through the relationships in communities, what they've done may not be right, but it may be godly for you and I to say, you know what, I've just got offended, but I choose to give grace. Amen. Because I have been given grace. And I give grace to others. I'm going to extend forgiveness. Last Sunday we talked about extending forgiveness even before people ask for forgiveness. That's the high level God has called you to live on. Now I'm waiting for somebody to apologize. Don't be like, can you believe she didn't even say sorry? Can you believe she didn't even say I'm sorry? No, we're not waiting for them to say they're sorry. It's grace. It is forgiving. It is giving. You see, some of us may be wired to be grace givers. There are people who are just wired to be kind, lenient. You know, they're always gracious. Have you met people like that? And there are people who are just very truth-telling. They're right in your grill. They don't care. They'll just give it to you the way it is. You know those people? Especially like in a home, in a household. Kids will know which parent is a grace giver. Right? If they want to stay up late, they know which parent to go to. Because they know they will get some grace. You have to look, am I a grace giver or am I not a grace giver? If you're not a grace giver, I want you to listen to what Jesus has called us to do. Let's go back to that scripture in John 1:17. It says, for the law, the judgment came through Moses, but grace and truth. If Jesus is in my heart, then grace will come out of me. Come on, what's in you will come out. So I don't want to hold it back. I don't want to hold in grace because the one in me is a grace giver. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father. What? Come on. Full of grace and truth. It is grace and truth. That's how Jesus operated in giving people grace and truth. Now, here's what we need to know. If I give grace without truth, then what I have is cheap grace. Now, we don't want to have cheap grace because cheap grace says anything goes, be whatever you want to be, do whatever you want to do. You don't have to be responsible. You don't have to take care of business. We're going to give you a license to do whatever you want to do, be whatever you want to be. because there's plenty of grace. That's not godly either, because God hasn't called us to cheap grace, right? How many know the reason why we have the Holy Spirit to convict us is because we don't have cheap grace? So when I sin, guess who's at the door of my heart? The Holy Spirit convicting me. Why? Because Jesus died doesn't mean I get to do whatever I want to do.
Amen.
He's there to convict me because it's not cheap grace. We want to make sure that as we give grace to each other, we're not holding back the truth either, because then it's not cheap grace. But again, if we become just truth tellers, without grace, we become what? Legalistic. Condemning and judging. So we have to know Jesus came. He didn't just come with grace or just with truth. He came with what? Grace and truth. We need to be able to tell the truth to each other. You see, the reason why we need to tell the truth to each other, because we have the other part called the blind spot. We have another part of us. It says it's like a two-way coin, you know? And so we have like blind spots. Things that people know about us that we don't know about ourselves. People in your life may be seeing things in you, but you don't see. And they are coming to you, and they ought to come and tell you the truth about what they see. And a lot of times, many people, when they get told the truth, they become defensive and mad and upset. But you and I need to know there's some parts of you, some parts of me that I don't see, but other people see. That's the truth of the matter. So I need people in my life that have my corner, in community with me, that love me enough to tell me that truth. And I pray that I have the grace to listen. Not to be mad, not to get defensive, because we need to grow. Growth comes when you confront what's out of line and do it right, not running away. We need to be able to receive that. That's why community matters, grace and truth. Now, I have to disclaim this. In order for us to have best results, you cannot give truth until you have a track record of giving grace to other people. Okay? Because before I give you all my truth, I need to make sure I've deposited some grace in your life. The reason why parents can tell their kids straight up truth is because they have a track record of giving grace over years upon years upon years. So they won't just come and tell them the truth. And the kid may be upset and mad, but it's not going to break the relationship because there's a deposit of grace over time. Now, check this out. What if the parent disappeared in the kid's life for 20 years? And then comes back after 20 years, comes back in the kid's life and tries to tell the kid what to do. How's that going to go down? Why? Because the kid will say, you can't tell me the truth because I have no grace from you. There's no grace deposited in my life. Why? Because in order for me to give truth to somebody, I have to have given grace to them. So this is why community matters. We come together and give grace to each other so that as we work together and walk together, we're able to give truth to each other so we can all grow. I want to finish very quick here with a thought. Paul and Timothy were in community with one another. As a matter of fact, Paul called Timothy his son. So they were very connected. But reading between lines, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, do you know what Paul told Timothy? I know we read that for ourselves a lot of times, but this is what Paul told Timothy. He said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. When I read that, I think that maybe Paul saw something in Timothy. He saw that Timothy was timid. Maybe Timothy was shy. Maybe Timothy was an introvert. Maybe Timothy always just stayed back. And Paul saw the grace of God on Timothy. He saw the love of God on Timothy. He saw how anointed Timothy was. He saw the confidence that was in Timothy. And Paul says, hey, Tim, I want you to know God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind. He was calling out the confidence that was in Timothy. Why? He was telling him the truth. How could he tell him the truth? Because he had a track record of giving him grace. Now think about this. History says Timothy died at 80 years old. And the way Timothy died, he was trying to stop a pagan parade. So when the pagans were going through the street, worshiping the false gods and going through the street, history says that Timothy went out to confront them and tell them about Jesus and tell them how their worship of other gods was off and they needed to stop, they needed to repent and receive Jesus. Now, how many know that is not a timid man? That is not a man who has any fear. How did that happen? How could the same man in the building, in the temple, in community, Paul saw he was shy, but then he ends up dying as a man who confronted pagans in their parade to tell them about Jesus. And they stoned him to death because he came right at him. Why? Because there was a Paul. There was somebody in his life who loved him enough to give him grace, but cared enough to tell them the truth. Do you have someone in your life that you know that will tell you the truth? Straight up tell you the truth. And you won't be offended because they've deposited grace in your life. I pray that as we move forward as community, ladies and gentlemen, that we remember to give grace to one another. When we see each other's shortfalls and failures, extend grace. But love enough to give grace, but care enough to give truth. Because that's what we've been called to do. I want to invite you to a discussion this morning. We're going to read John chapter 8 together at our tables. We're going to read John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. And I want us to go through that and answer those questions today. So I'm going to ask you to be at your table and go ahead. And I want to give another blessing to People Marketeer. And God bless you. And let's get into a moment of discussion. And ladies and gentlemen, have a good time.